life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Everyone, this is Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirits Work, the metaphysical, paranormal, and spiritual information show designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling. And today we are doing part two of our remote healing show. So if you'd like to join us with a question or a comment to add to our conversation that will expand people's mind and knowledge about this subject and share the thoughts that you have, the number is toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST. We have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us or our books, CDs, please go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Oh, and also, of course, you can book an Akashic reading there, or have a diagnostic survey, geophysical survey of your house. We do spirit surveys of your house or dwelling to do with energies anywhere on the planet. Now, as Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium. And each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an Earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my physical body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through. And I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back when the spirit communicator leaves. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either. But then that's kind of what I do virtually three or four times every day. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie and have a great show.
Thanks, Mick. Yes, Mick spends most of his time on the other side every day anyway, so it won't be any great surprise to you when you pass the spirit world, will it, Mick? Anyway, Gregory, who is going to be coming to speak to us, is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, who consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human mind. The subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless, and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. Our mission is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And like I say, last week we were talking about remote healing, and we actually touched on the end of the program, we touched upon quantum physics and the unfolding of time in relation to the remote healing, distant or absent healing, whatever it is that you'd like to call it, which is actually sending healing to a person anywhere really on the planet, and to offer them healing, and how actually this works. So I guess this is obviously something that we had to get around to at some point. And we can also take your phone calls, don't forget, from the US, 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-815-9756, which is toll-free, and international callers, 001-530-876-3222. Okay, well, welcome, Gregory.
With love and light and peace be upon your journey and pathway, my friend.
Thank you. And I'm saying thank you on behalf of our listeners, too.
Of course.
Okay. So, yes, I thought we would follow on from where we finished, although I know there's a lot of other areas of the remote healing that we need to cover.
Yes. Well, we thought it was interesting from your physical perspective, because, after all, as a conscious physical being, you sometimes struggle with the way in which you have to accommodate distance. After all, distance means time in physical reality. And so its whole premise is that it even takes you time to put your hand to your mouth.
Hello, caller. Who do we have here?
Yes, good evening, it's Winston.
Oh, hi, Winston.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hello, hello.
You're welcome.
Just understanding you were going to take some questions about what actually your soul's purpose is for the evening. And that's always a question that I've had for many years now.
Actually, we're talking about remote healing.
Oh, remote healing. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I must have been on the on a different one of your topics. But
Right. Okay.
How do you do remote healing?
You gotta take it away, Gregory.
Well, remote healing, my dear friend, is when you make up a conscious thought towards someone else, and it can be anyone. Anywhere else upon the planet. We were trying to discuss really about how it is that people use different mechanisms to bring these thoughts into the consciousness.
Oh, okay.
For example, my friend, it may be that you illuminate a person, perhaps the memory of them, an image or something like that, so that you actually bring the image of that person into your conscious thought, and then you attract certain forms of loving, healing energy from within the self and help to create that energy. And we were talking about how you actually do that, how you bring together the molecules of energy through your concentration and your higher aspect of self with using the energy of your spirit, and how this is then something which is transformed and transported by your wish to communicate with that person across physical time reality. What we're doing now is we are attempting here to explain to you and to visit with these certain energies, which are actually how do you transport something which is, shall we say, it's a physical thought that you gather. It's a whole conscious stream of your thought in action, of an image, and an image that appears to you physically in your mind. You are then able to use this image as a parameter to help the concentration of loving energy coming from the well within a cell, which is then moved across time and space to the place of wherever the other person may be sitting or lying down or even working at that time, anywhere upon the physical planet. And I was about to explain how that actually transpires, that you can move the matter of energy that you have created across physical time. Now, I am about to explain here now the whole process of time and why it is that physical beings are able to actually transmit this kind of energy.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Winston.
Thank you. So, now, the situation then is, as I say, if you are a physical being and you want to bring about the whole situation of sending energy, even for you to move your mind into how you accept time and space from one side of the planet to another, I understand that perhaps if you are, like at this present moment, you are sitting in the little country of England and you are communicating to the Americas. This, then, is a product of time that you have to transport. It means to say that as you are sitting here speaking, as I am sitting here speaking in this time, I am also aware of the things and cycles of life, the situations that are happening on the other side of the world, in which, at which point, this message is actually being transmitted. Yes?
Very interesting.
So we are actually moving across this physical time barrier, and in exactly the same way, it's taking no time at all. I know that we are using a physical instrument to do this, but there is no different an instrument in your conscious mind as there is to do with the physical one. It's just that the physical instrument enables you to deal in real-time signatures with specific energies. What I'm saying here is that when you tend to remote healing responsibilities, the energies are just the same. It's just that you are using it as a different parameter. So you are moving across the sphere that you live upon. You are sending the energy across it. However, what you're doing here is instead of actually having a physical apparatus that you can manipulate on your side of life, you're using your consciousness apparatus. This means to say that you are, in a sense, sending thought across the ether world. Now, the ether world doesn't contain time at all. And I know that there are other questions to do with time that need to be explained. So the ether world does not control time or have time, although the ether world has to interact with time in order for us to interact with you. So it means to say, friend, if you send or bring up a thought in your conscious mind and you send it to someone else, no time exists, because in fact time is folded between yourself and your quarry, if you'd like, your client, your patient, whoever it is, your loved one that you are sending your conscious thought to. So by having the folded forms of folded time, which means that if you can imagine, the dimension just crumples up, and it's like having a long piece of string or a large piece of paper, and as you bring the two ends together, you are actually moving it into a series of waves. The paper then becomes a waveform that you move the two ends of where you want to reach together. The reason why you do this is because time does not exist in the spirit world. It exists as a physical space because of the distance which happens to be between you. But that's a physical reality and doesn't apply in the etheric world because no time exists.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So the thing a person needs to do is to hold an image of the person you want to send healing to and to focus on that, and they will receive that right away.
Yes, absolutely so, my dear friend. It does take no time for it to reach the person, so it's immediate. And the point is, I'm saying as well, an image is perhaps the easiest thing for human beings to relate to. Now, it may well be said that you actually relate to this in the sense and feeling of energy. Perhaps
mm-hmm.
it's a color or something like that. It may be, as I understand, many people oftentimes say that they're sending white light to someone else, and that this is an energy form which again is something which is easy for the physical brain, for the consciousness setting, to actually conjure up, particularly if you are a conscious being who is having perhaps spiritual revelatory experiences. This, in fact, is because of the various neurons and interpolation between synapse within the physical brain actually enable, when you are in a state of euphoria, to accept a form of white coloration within the energy. This is physically what actually happens when you have the experience of a white light, when you are perhaps having a spiritual revelatory experience.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank
you
very much for your call, Winston. Do call again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, and the thing is that we did broach quite a few different ways of doing healing from certain visualization experiences. You know, I know somebody that visualizes their hands on the person.
Yes.
And that sort of thing. And we went through photos, having a photo of a person, and many other ways. To a meridian chart, a reflexology chart, and imagining that person being the recipient of that. Okay, what about this one? Setting a program, some programmed crystals onto the name of a person and putting that written paper in a box with the program crystals. Would that work? I guess it's just a thought, isn't it?
It's just a thought. Absolutely.
But
so.
This is it.
You could use a piece of coal, really.
Yeah, but it's, okay, so it's not actually anything to do, because people do use program crystals that are intended to represent maybe the person or the specific chakra of a person.
Yes, I understand that. And that, of course, is a matter for those who are perhaps wanting to extend that kind of energy. However, what I'm saying, really, is that many physical people play great store within physical properties and elements of certain aspects and facets of the world in which you live. They will actually find great energy and release, perhaps, within certain forms of crystalline substance, which happens to have materialized and become available on your side of life because of conditions of evolutionary state. Pressure, shear forces, different things to do with the compression that had existed where certain chemical interactions had existed, which enable a specific crystal to form in the first place. The energy within that crystal may be obvious to some and incoherent to others. Ask a geologist to actually interpret something of what they would define perhaps as the energy of gold or other kind of mineral, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference between specific minerals and crystals. It's just physical matter, cell structure, molecular structure of a different form.
Yes. So that some people actually think that makes them able to work and focus their energy. I understand that
yes.
It's their energy that is going into the crystal.
Yes, my dear friend. So that you have perhaps a beautiful ball of perhaps it's an onyx-like material
mm-hmm.
or something. What are you going to infuse within this material? You're going to be able to infuse whatever is in your heart at that time. If you are feeling that you wish to use a surrogate for your energy, perhaps allowing you to maneuver your conscious setting away from the material world, even though you hold a material object, you are focusing upon that object and then relating to it as something which is going to give you a great deal of power and influence. What you are in fact doing is interrelating between the power of self to your spirit. Oftentimes we have seen people who will perhaps place one hand upon the crystal of some form of matter, which has been dug up from the earth and fashioned into a certain shape or whatever, will put one hand upon that and another hand upon a person's head or upon their shoulder and say that they're healing them. That, the fact that you are using another physical object in order to, so say, attract attention, if you actually looked at it within a specific, Kellyanne photography or something like that, if you actually took a picture of what was happening there, you would not see any energy transference between the crystal itself and the physical form. What you would see is perhaps energy around the physical being coming from your auric field.
Going into the crystal and the other person.
Exactly so. And what actually is happening here is that you are actually energizing not between the crystal because it's got specific properties itself, although I understand there are many people on physical earth who would say, as they're clutching some crystal or whatever, that they can feel all this power coming from this crystal. What they're actually feeling is their own spirit resonance.
So when people are using crystals in this way, either saying putting crystals on the chart of a person and actually visualizing this person in the chart and putting these crystals onto the certain chakras that they are sending these energies through, is happening maybe at the time, but at the time through the mind of the person.
Yes, what they're actually organizing is a mechanical effect of the physical interactivity, that is of you, the person who's sending it, to the energy centers within the spirit, within your pure spirit.
And
that is the connectivity that's happening.
Does it matter if you only have a name of a person when you do any form of healing? Distant healing.
If you just have a name, then obviously you cannot materialize a face. Unless, of course, you are using your psychic imagery. In which case, perhaps it is that your connection with that person brings their face to you, even though you've never seen them before. This actually is not something which happens upon the auric plane or something like that. It's not to say, in fact, that this is an illusion. It's to say that what's actually happening here is that you are illuminating an energy coming through your spirit, because the spirit world is actually interacting with you and sending you the image back from that person. As you sent the thought, that's the first connectivity, is your will, your passion, your emotional field, which you then means that you stimulated your emotional field, you see, as a physical being. And what this actually does is create a wavelength form from you to that being. So you've mentioned that person's name. You thought within it in a very physical and yet spiritual way. So you are creating loving energy within yourself. However that contact is made, it may be, as I say, in the state and form of specific waveform. It may be that you bring about a passion to do with color. Perhaps it's white light. Perhaps you are a light worker and work in the light in that way, resonating with white light. That is, of course, the concept of all color. But it actually is inclusive in perhaps some of the echelonic thoughts thoughts and feelings that you have of where the ultimate purity of spirit energy comes from or goes to. So you are illuminating this facet in yourself as a kind of illuminatory effect, really. It means to say that you are concentrating your energy in the form of this purest form that you can manifest. And that then will be the purest form that you can manifest to them. As soon as you have the thought, they've understood it, reached it, it has reached them. It means to say, then the spirit world helped to send their image back to you. Perhaps if you have that reciprocal energy, if you have that facet that you have developed within your own conscious mind. This means to say then you will actually see the person and their face, even regardless of the fact of whether you know of their face or not, can describe it. It's a good practice to do, my friend, that if in this time of purified healing in this way, that you actually perhaps afterward, as soon as your readily physical conscious state comes back into play, that you actually write down what it is that you've seen, a descriptive image, perhaps. It may well be that it's not just something which has come through your consciousness setting, as miraculous as that is, that it's actually come through those of the spirit team who maybe work through you, even if you haven't actually met them, even if you don't actually know who they are. It's immaterial in a sense. What is material is that you are consciously aware of their presence, perhaps. That, too, is something of a culmination of development, an extension of that development. If you wish to extend, and please, my friends, do understand, I'm not denigrating work with crystals or whatever. It's a very fine thing. And I'm saying that these are energies which are interrelated between the physical state, i.e. where the crystal has come from. It's a part of Mother Earth. This means it's actually interactive with the Mother Earth energy. And certain facets of that energy may be ascribed to do with its own spirit makeup. So what you're actually conversing with when dealing with crystals of a specific nature are the specific energy properties of that spirit. Now, you may interact and intermediate with that spirit energy of the earth in the way and guise of it. Perhaps it's a specific form of crystal. Whatever it is, it illuminates a specific energy to you. That then becomes the energy that you focus upon. It's a sort of an illuminatory placebo effect, I suppose, you could say. But because of the fact that you've actually centered upon that energy, you have been told, perhaps, that it illuminates a certain amount of compassion or whatever, or it has a specific energy gravity that works in a specific arc, a form, so that it's between, perhaps, illuminating a specific energy wavelength or something like that. So it helps to heal certain parts of the physical body or something like that. That's what you've been told to ascribe that to that crystal form. What you are then doing is you are losing the integral state of your conscious mind when you are actually bringing your energy to bear upon it. And in doing that, you are creating a link between the universe and the physical earth energy and its spirit to your spirit. And doing so to your client, to your recipient.
So you are putting your intention into the energy of your intention into the crystal. So it does work.
Yes, but what you're doing is you're using the energy of what you've already been told to ascribe it to. That's your focus of attention.
So even if you actually are just embarking on the crystal experience, shall we say, and you're not really, and you haven't sort of read and learnt from books particularly, and you're experimenting yourself, it would still work even if you used your own interpretation onto the crystals without reading a book and saying it's got to be this one for the heart chakra, it's got to be that one for this and upliftment and joy and sadness. And do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, absolutely so. I'm saying exactly that.
Mm.
You may alternatively use a piece of coal, perhaps, or use go and pick a stone from the garden.
Mm.
This, too, set upon a specific place, you bring your intention to it. It's maybe not as pretty as a crystal, and maybe people think, oh, well, that's not the same at all. That's just an inanimate object. Well, so is a piece of crystal.
Yes.
It's exactly the same. You are dealing with an object which originally was a chemical compound which has been brought together. Ask any geologist. Mm-hmm. Which has been brought together through the pressures of time.
Would you agree that there are certain people who are just totally of the right vibration in themselves as an energy being to work with crystals more than others?
Absolutely, yes. I am not disputing
that. From your Akashic readings, I gather that there are.
Yes, yes, quite so. Absolutely so. And that is actually because they are more balanced within the wavelength, the very specific wavelength to do with planetary alignment and existence. And the whole way through this is that their energy is very much linked with planetary energy and the spirit of that planet, wherever it is. So it may well be, for example, oftentimes we have said, and talked about people coming perhaps from a different location within the universe. It may well be that they're from a different time field or from a different occasion or physical reality. It means to say then their operation of their energy wavelengths and their whole balance within that nature, because of the fact that they're having a physical human experience on the physical Earth, may mean that they are not just aligned to the Earth because it's the physical plane in which they're existing on, but also that there are certain elements of energy from the alignment of previous existence or previous understanding which enables them to interrelate with their own prehistory, I suppose you could say, of their cellular activity. Perhaps it was to do with the way in which they were brought up. Maybe they were an OPAC or something, brought up on some specific world or whatever, and that what actually happened was that part of their memory became part of their memory of their spirit self-consciousness, and that too came through in their physical presence, you see.
So somebody like this will find this sort of situation very easy and would that works for them very well.
Yes.
Which is why we always talk to people about not emulating other people's gifts, because that might not be your particular leaning.
No, exactly. So, my friend, because of the fact, I'm sorry to stop you here, but because of the fact that you have a person who reads from a book, shall we say, and they're talking about descriptions of, so say, physical properties of elemental crystals, what you are actually doing is you are relating to it as a physical being and how that being is supposed to react to that specific property or that specific alignment of chemical interaction that's made the crystal in the first place. What I'm saying is if the being has had a consciousness setting which has actually existed within a different time form, a different reality dimension, a different space within the whole context of conscious physical state living, it means to say that interactivity has been remembered, alters the actual specific balance of that spirit having a physical experience, and so interrelates to how that spirit being, now in a conscious physical setting, actually relates to their environment. And so how they're going to relate to it is going to be something completely, completely at odds with the description that's been placed before them.
What about people who, like, shall we say, people that we look up to, some sort of guru on the other side of the planet, some wonderful healer or whatever, who's supposed to have programmed a set of crystals that they call their set of crystals, a pendant or whatever,
yes.
And then they sell them in shops worldwide.
Yes.
Under their name.
Most of this is an emotional placebo effect.
Right, on the person that's bought them.
Yes.
So
in their willingness to want to connect with that specific person, perhaps it may be, yes, I've oftentimes heard of it, John of God crystals and that
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, things like that.
I'm just using it as an example.
Mm.
I am well aware that there are some elements of this particular being that many people find very helpful. There are other elements of this particular being where there has been great angst and anxiety created through that energy. So all energy can be forming in a positive or negative wave vibration. You are looking at very specific forces involved here. However, if you are saying that you have a set of crystals that perhaps have been touched by this person, does that then conjure up the feelings of within you that enabled you to identify with the energy of that person or that has supposedly been left within that crystal? I suppose that that's really what you're saying. Psychometrically, you are looking at the psychometry of that specific element. If a physical person has touched a physical object, we all know that there is a specific imprint left upon the object. It may be that the person hasn't actually held it for that long, perhaps just for a couple of seconds in the palm of their hand and then put it down. What happens then? Does it mean to say that their loving energy has been created so extensively around that crystal that the person who then picks it up, if you actually told them that there is no property within it, would they still react the same? Probably not.
Okay, if you'd like to join us with a question, there's still time, and we're talking about remote healing and all of the sort of interesting facts around that. So it's a free phone number in the US and Canada. In the US, the number is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And any international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, but it's not toll free.
You see, my friend, what I'm really doing here is I'm playing, in a sense, the devil's advocate. I'm trying to respond to these questions, very serious questions, in also a, I don't want to over-romanticize something because it's unrealistic. I'm trying to here bring about a factual, evidential information answer to the problems and the questions oftentimes posed by physical human beings because they are caught up within the emotional field context of what they wish to deliver and feel that these various objects are going to be the source of their deliverance. Rather, it is that they tend to help and aid the being, the physical being themselves, to focus away from the event of what they're actually holding, using it as a marker, perhaps, so that they will have they will create a greater energy around that sense and feeling, having actually attracted to themselves a sense of energy around them, which is actually purely because they're concentrating on one thing, perhaps the crystal in their hand or whatever, and that this enables their contact with their spirit to become more pure. That's why they suddenly feel the sense of energy. It's not actually coming from the crystal. It's actually coming from the interrelationship between your physical state and your spirit.
And that's what we try to do on this program, is to give you back your the power to you, basically.
Give you back your life.
Exactly. I mean, we all, you know, you have so many gifts. All of you have so many gifts. And we tend to give them away all of the time and put the sort of like the higher energies onto other people all of the time, don't we? And then in that doing that, you're giving your own power away in a way, aren't you?
Yes, I'm not saying that there is a So what's the difficulty here with giving your power away to something? That means to say then that what you're really meaning is that you are actually denigrating your work with spirit. That's what we're saying that you are doing. You are not honoring, you are not respecting your work with spirit, but rather you're saying, oh no, it's just this beautiful crystal you see that I have here in my hand. I paid so many hundreds of dollars or pounds for it or whatever, so it must be beautiful. I'm going to have egg on my face if I said it wasn't.
Yes, or somebody else has touched it and their power is more powerful than mine, even though it was the slightest remote brushing of this person's energy, when your love and your energy is so much more powerful.
Yes.
You know, especially if it's somebody that you love.
Yes, absolutely. If it's the quality of your connection, the quality of your communication with your spirit.
Mm.
Now, we are saying here that every single physical being has an innumerate quality to their connectivity with their spirit. What they lack, perhaps, at times, may be their development, may be to do with the development of that relationship between the physical state and spirit. What we're saying here is the ultimate connection is to establish the purity with yourself and your pure spirit. Without this, you are nothing.
Well, yes, but I can appreciate that your mind jumps about if you don't have a specific method to use in remote healing, shall we say.
So
objects help focus
us
human beings in that way, don't they?
Yes, they do. Hold a hairbrush.
Right.
It will do the same thing.
Yes.
It's like practicing singing.
In front of the mirror.
Yes, quite so.
But yes, we do need to have some sort of plan of action, or else we do get distracted and we don't think it's working. So when we're doing remote healing, how long would you suggest that we actually somebody would actually sit in contemplation? I use the word contemplation for this, to send healing.
Yes, let's call it focus.
Okay, focus.
We are gathering the energy. We are extending and gathering the energy of ourselves, of our unique ability of communication with our pure self. In bringing this about, it may take a little time, because you're a physical being, to actually let go of the other energies in your auric field to do with the thoughts and expressions of the day. It may take you a little physical time in order to express those conditions so that you are in a state of at-one-ness with your surroundings, with the being that you are, to manifest the energy of purity within yourself, within that connection of your physical state and spirit. It will take a little time for you to do that.
And what do you suggest people do?
I would suggest that it can be a number of things. You might want to recite some sort of mantra, if that is something that helps you concentrate and focus. I'm not dismissing it. You might want to illuminate some kind of picture in your mind. Actually feel in a sense that you're drawing it in, that you're creating this energy, perhaps in the form of a beautiful animal or creature, perhaps as a bird that you want to release to that person. Perhaps it may be that you bring about this energy of purity of your spirit, and that as you do so, you close your eyes and you feel a sense of energy around you and color that is actually coming through your auric field, and you send that energy via your spirit.
Hello, caller. Who's speaking?
Hi, my name's Emma.
Oh, hi, Emma.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And you?
I'm doing good. Hey, this is a great topic. I have a question. I have a veterinarian who takes care of my dogs, and he has these rocks that he says he puts through a program, and I don't understand what the program is. It must be some sort of energy waves that is supposed, then you put it in the dog's water and it breaks down or keeps their teeth clean of plaque. So this isn't actually my holding a crystal and, you know, getting energy from it that's really coming from myself. This is an innate object that, you know, is used by the, quote, dogs. I'm wondering if he has any insight on that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That is a very interesting situation, my friend. Actually, the condition there, I understand, is to interrelate the actual physical property and the energy surrounding that property. So it's actually to do with the energizing of, shall we say then, that you have certain cell structures within the crystal, and what is actually happening in the, so say, programming is that the programming may happen in different ways. It may be that the programming is actually interrelated towards other different physical energy, shall we say, the properties of electromagnetic forces or something like that, which actually then will change the property of certain aspects, perhaps neutrons or protons of the cell structure of the crystal that you have been given.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is a rock. So I guess...
Yes, I understand that, Fred, and that's exactly what I'm saying.
I'm just checking to make sure the terms are interchangeable.
Yes.
Okay, that was all I was doing. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. But the point is, though, that what I'm also saying, friend, is that by him saying that, that he has brought these crystals in order to energize...
So you're calling the rock crystal.
That's basically it, friend. I'm saying that every single rock, no matter whether you dig it up from the garden and it's just like a pebble or whatever, it's still the same thing. It's still that you are treating a past organism or granules or chemical reactions with the earth that has been a part of the earth.
Okay.
Yes?
Yes.
And so the situation here, it may well be that in order, you say that this is in order to bring about a change in the dog's actual physical health.
Yes, or to maintain the physical health, correct?
Yes, quite so. Well, this may well be because of the fact that the actual property of these outer cells of these specific crystals or rocks were actually changed in some way, as I say, in an electrostatic form. However, I'm saying then that it doesn't mean to say that you would cook it or whatever. I'm saying that there are people, I understand, who perhaps place crystals within a certain kind of vessel which actually, when charged through specific forms of energy, will actually slightly alter their molecular structure. I'm also aware that people will concentrate their spirit energy or some other a ritualistic experience upon the crystal and declare that that in itself is something which will change the apparent state. It may well be that just placing that specific type of crystal within the water and the specific properties of the water will actually have some kind of actual physical grammatic effect. I'm suggesting this as a possible outcome. I'm suggesting, however, my dear friend, that also, it may well be that you actually give your dog a decent bone in order to bring about a similar situation.
Yeah, I was just throwing that out there because he also uses this programming on toothpaste that actual, you know, humans purchase as toothpaste to use. So I, in that sense, it is used in the human realm versus the animal kingdom, so... It's hard to give up.
Yes, and yes, absolutely, my dear friend. But what I'm actually saying, friend, is that when you are dealing with this in any particular way, I would be careful about how you actually bring this about. And that what I'm saying is that They will. If you want to program yourself a tube of toothpaste because you want it to have a specific property, perhaps then you would actually put the tube of toothpaste in your hands. Does this mean to say that you are going to be able to do this? Or is it always going to be in the realms of some healer who claims this as a part of their volition, brings this about as a part of their trade, if
you
like?
So does he do it as a healing, in a healing situation, or in a more, shall we say, chemical situation, scientific way?
Apparently it's been years of doing this, and I don't know, like, if there's a certain wavelength. I guess just asking about the crystals for the animals is, there wouldn't be a placebo effect with that because they're not going to know, oh, this is...
No, that's right.
That was...
Exactly.
That.
So,
yeah.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that in this respect, if you are changing in some way the molecular structure or adherence to a specific crystal, shall we say, it's attaching certain energy to the crystal, which is temporary.
Oh, it's temporary. Does it maintain it?
I would be very surprised if it did maintain it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, apparently...
We'd be really interested to know about what this is called and that sort of thing. If you could send it to us, that'd be fascinating, actually. I'd be interested.
You bet. This person has a website, and I can send it to you then.
Okay, so do you know our website is www.spirit-teachings.com.
Okay, awesome. I'll get that out to you. And thank you very much for taking my question.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll get back to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So it's fascinating, isn't it? It's very interesting.
Absolutely.
The whole thing is really interesting.
Yes, I'm not saying here that it is not possible.
Oh, no, not at all.
I'm saying here that there are interactivities with the physical state, your spirit, when you actually interact with a physical object. Yes, you will place a certain amount of energy upon it. The situation, however, remember, is that energy is transient.
Mm.
Anywhere in the universe, you will see and observe energy. It is created by something, some force of chemical interaction, if it's a physical property that you are observing, like the sun, moon, stars, whatever it is. If you're observing a force, the tidal wave, it actually is an expression of energy. Energy is created by manipulation, by pressure, by willful activity.
There's also magnetism, isn't there, as well?
Yes.
Magnetic healing, because that's used a lot in different things. I mean,
that
would change chemical structures, wouldn't it, of things, certain elements that it came into contact with. I mean, there's all sorts of variations on this
that need exploring,
I think.
Absolutely so, friend. I totally agree. And I'm not saying here that all of this information is coming from me. I'm saying that it is due to the many thousands of people who are here present at this time who are bringing forward these understandings to do with the interrelationship between dimensions and the properties inherent within them.
Mm. Oh, absolutely, yes. So is it possible to, shall we say, block? I mean, we've only got a minute or two here, but is it possible to block this healing coming to you from somebody else, or is this going to take too long?
Yes, because that's actually to do with other situations and conditions.
Yeah.
I have to just address this very quickly. The lady was, Emma was talking about, of course, her dog wouldn't know.
No.
And that is quite true. Would not know specifically of what was happening, but would understand with the connectivity. If there was an energy present, the dog would know. It's exactly the same as if you could say, oh, well, a dog wouldn't know if I was giving it healing. Well, actually, it does. It does instantly. You may come up to a dog and give it healing. You may actually send it remote healing. You may send an animal, any animal, remote healing, and it will know and sense it.
Okay, well, I think we can discuss that next week as well, as many other things to
yes,
do with, I think, sound healing as well we need to talk about.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, lovely.
Very
all right, well, thank you very much, Gregory.
With love and light, my dear friend.
Thank you.
God bless all of you upon each step of your journey that you make.
And we thank you very much for your questions and hope you've enjoyed our show on Spirit's Work tonight. Do visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out all sorts of information about us. So my name is Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
BigBassRadio.com, radio that transcends the third dimension. BigBassRadio.com embraces the fourth dimension, promotes natural alternative health, spreads joy. BigBassRadio.com, free energy, spirituality, honesty and truth. BigBassRadio.com. Increase the vibration of the people and the planet. BigBassRadio.com.
Give it to me. If you resist, you're a terrorist. See, I'll take everything you got, my way of setting you free. They quell objectioners, they kill the messengers. They quell objectioners, they kill the